know, the security of the believer, let me turn my mic on. The security of the believer is a teaching that we as Southern Baptists believe in and teach as a biblical doctrine. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, he said, "It is not your hold of Christ that saves you, but His hold of you." Yes. Praise the Lord for that. And if I may, I would like to emphasize this truth this morning. And that is, it is His hold on you that will keep you as well. This morning, I want us to take a look at this teaching and hopefully come to a better understanding of its truth. So if you would, please open your Bibles or follow along on the screen to Romans chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 31 through 39. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. So if you'd please stand. Honor of our Lord as we read from the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired, written word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who has raised who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, "For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Heavenly Father, as we've opened Your Word and read it, please bless the reading of it. Now open the eyes of our minds and our spirit that we may see You. Grant us the ability to hear You this morning and to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Dwight L. Moody said, "Looking at the wound of sin will never save anyone. What you must do is to look at the remedy." Wow, that's good. Oswald Chambers made this statement. He said, "In new birth, God does three impossible things. The first is to make a man's past as though it had never been. The second, to make a man all over again. And the third, to make a man as certain of God as God is of himself." Isn't that deep? Wow. Well, did you know that the Bible teaches no one can separate us from God's love? Just in case if you didn't know that, I have 3 points this morning. that will answer this question for you, as well as the question of how secure are you in the Lord. The first point is God for us? Second, can God forsake us? And third, God guarantees grace to all. Amen. So let's take a look at the first point. Is God for us? Let's look again at Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? I want to assure you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is always there for us, no matter what. Amen. However, our assurance and our confidence in the Lord is dependent upon our relationship with Him and knowledge of His faithfulness. Now, why would I make a statement like this? You see, if we are strangers to God, then we will most likely resent any intervention by Him in our lives. Because if He does that, then that will appear to us as if He's interfering in our lives. However, if we are in Him and He is in us and He is our Heavenly Father and we're close to Him, then we will desire to be even closer to Him. You know, if God seems to be far away from us, it's because we have moved away from Him and not God. You see, when we remain in fellowship with God, we will be able to realize His faithfulness to us. Amen. Now, the phrase in our text this morning that says, if God be for us, is thought by some to be poorly translated because there's a little tiny Greek word that means if. And that if in the Greek does not provide for a supposition, but rather for a certainty. Therefore, it is not a condition, but rather it is a conclusion, and should read something like this: since God is for us. Not if, but since God is for us. Now, because it is certain that God is for us, the obvious conclusion would be then, who can be against us? Therefore, there is no need for us to fret over what God will do. Because you see, God is for us and not against us. And the proof of that is the fact that He gave His very best, His only Son, amen, on the cross. Now, since He did that, since He willingly paid so great a price for you and me, doesn't it stand to reason that He will stand for us? And He will be there for us and keep us no matter what? Now, can anyone charge us for any sin that we've committed? No, they can't. Because, you see, we have been justified by Christ Himself. And that standing before God, because we've been justified with Him, even when we stand before Him at the Bema seat, the judgment seat, then that will never change. We cannot be charged for our sin because Christ justified us. He paid the price for us. Can anyone condemn us? No. Christ died for us and lives now as our advocate, our lawyer at God's right hand. So, can anything separate us from God's love then? No, it cannot. Not even the devil himself. Not all of the powers and principalities that he can muster up cannot separate us from the love of God. Amen. There is no condemnation, no obligation, no separation from the Lord. Second point, can God forsake us? All believers can trust absolutely positively in their omnipotent, omniscient, all-loving God to never forsake them. God will never forsake us. This is the Apostle Paul's whole argument here in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. You see, God, who demonstrated His love, knowledge, and power so perfectly and tangibly, can also certainly be trusted to keep us victorious and safe from all dangers and external and internal as well. Paul said in Romans 8:32 that God was willing to give the ultimate gift of His Son to die for us. Let's look at what he says. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Will God allow anything or anyone to snatch us from the hands after paying so dear a price? I think not. Now Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from my Father's hand. Now, just as we did not earn salvation, folks, neither can we earn His protection. This is indicated in the Greek by two verbs that are used here in Romans 8, 32. The paradidomi, and for those of you that might be listening that know Greek, I'm sorry, I'm pronouncing it as best I can. It means He delivered him up, Christ. He delivered him, capital H. He delivered him up. That's one verb. The other one is charizoi. It means freely give. Now, the verb charizoi is the future indicative of the Greek word meaning to give as a matter of favor, not as a deserved payment for what one has done. Okay? So we cannot earn His protection. It is given to us freely. God's act of preserving believers is based upon Christ, not us. It's based upon our justification through Christ. But we must always remember that grace also causes us to receive a new nature so that we can perform works of righteousness. That new nature within us is Him in us. And because He is in us, then we can do works of righteousness that honor Him. Warren Wiersbe says that there are two parallel truths at work here. Number one, he says, God imputes righteousness to us despite the fact that we do not have any good works of our own. But it's Him, it's Christ. You see, in Romans chapter 4, verse 6, and Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The second point that Warren Wiersbe says is God remakes us unto good works. It's important for us to remember that since the verb used here for will freely give is in the future indicative. It means that we do not receive all of His grace at once. You see, when He brings us into salvation, let me interject, we have all of Him, but we still give more, and He begins to release through us more and more. He's still holding it, containing it within Him, and He begins to release it through us. So we do not have all of His grace at once, but rather He brings us into situations or permits us to be in crisis of some sort. And then He gives the necessary grace or gifts to face it. That's what happened to PK and I over these last 2 weeks. There's no way we could have faced all of that. And because of your prayers lifting us, we felt strength like never before as we stood before our grandson's casket and saw him there. Sure, I wept. I wept like a baby. But I could feel your strength within me. And I still feel it. And it's God's grace was released in and through me as the crisis came, as it was necessary for me to have more grace, then He released more grace from within and it flowed out. Third point, God guarantees grace to us. Paul lists some of the situations where God's grace is sufficient. One such circumstance is being falsely accused of not being genuine believers. The only opinion we should value in this regard is that of God Himself. For it is God that justifies, Romans 8:33. Paul says in verse 35 that tribulation from outside circumstances, whether the pressure is literal or whether it's figuratively, that inner depression caused by calamity or distress or the persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword shall never, none of that shall ever separate us from the love of God. Paul in Romans 8, 38 and 39 ends with a list of obstacles. He says, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature. He lists a whole bunch of things here. Bottom line is this, and Paul is saying, he assures us that none of these things, and if he left out anything else, that included, none of these things will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is rooted in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, where are you this morning? Are you rooted in Christ Jesus today? Are you rooted in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Or are you just kind of floundering around, being tossed to and fro by the ways of the world and then the philosophy that this world tosses out? If you are, you don't need to be. You see, the absolute certainty of God's love for believers is proven scripture after scripture after scripture. There's nothing so hard or nothing so dangerous that can separate us from God. Therefore, if God, the uncreated one, is for us, then there's nothing that's been created that can separate us from Him. He is our security, and our security in Him is absolute. So the question, house secure is secure? Paul's point is simple and compelling. Once we are in the Lord's care, once we are in Him and He is in us, it is impossible to be separated from Christ. If it were possible, folks, then the Bible would be full of lies. John 3:16, one of the most popular verses, would be a bald-faced lie. If it were possible for us to be separated. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, if I can be separated from Christ, that's not everlasting. So Scripture after Scripture after Scripture emphasizes that those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Him and Him alone can never be separated from Him. That's pretty secure as far as I'm concerned. His death for us is proof of His unconquerable love. Nothing can stop His constant presence with us. God tells us how great His love is so that we will feel totally secure in Him. However, as I mentioned, the most important thing, the very first step that must be taken in order for you to have this security is experiencing the Lord's security, and that is to make Jesus Lord of your life, to trust Him as your Savior, to place your life totally in His hands. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is that step that needs to be taken in experiencing eternal security. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Nothing in all creation can take us away from God's love or thwart His presence for us. So the question is, why? If you've never trusted Christ, why not? Those that are listening, why not right now? Why not trust Christ as your Savior and Lord? Ask Him to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart. Anyone here this morning, if you're not absolutely, positively sure, let's make today the day that you can be absolutely, positively sure and know and remove all question, all doubt. Come. An acrostic of come, I found, is powerful. It says, confess your sin. Open your heart to Jesus. Meet Jesus Christ and enter into His everlasting life. That's what come to Him means, everlasting life. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our song of invitation. And I hope that as we sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus," that that is your prayer, that you have truly decided to follow Jesus and will put the world behind you and the cross before you and follow Him. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, you make that choice for Him and then come and tell me what that decision was.